Welcome, everybody. Episode number 16 of the Business Beyond Performance podcast. My name is Matt Powell. With me, as always, is my salmon-colored polo shirt-wearing co-host, Joe Stout.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, man. Don't hate the player.
So, Joe, you did a fantastic job of bringing on a great guest tonight. It's Jeff Byers, formerly of Amp Human. That's what we kind of filmed this episode thinking it was going to be, but they've actually merged. Tell me about it.
So Jeff, the CEO, you know, great story, NFL experience, worked in Silicon Valley, you know, started this business. And Pat Dixon, former guest, ended up jumping in with them a few years ago. And we know Pat, UConn, obviously watched the episode with Pat to kind of understand not only what Pat's doing, but his story and background. And, you know, getting to know Jeff through Pat was just a no-brainer to bring him on. And then now, as we're recording this, getting ready to launch, Momentous on the sport nutrition side has recently merged with AMP. So they're under the live.momentous handle and then Momentous for Momentous's original brand. But now they've aligned the two. I'm actually really interested in talking to Pat and Jeff more and kind of really understanding the nuts and bolts of it. But it's an awesome day when you see two really good companies that kind of attack a little bit of a different space. And I'm fortunate enough to know some of the guys at Momentous. Shout out to Chris DeSanto at Momentous. Great guy. So, you know, someone we should probably get on the podcast at some point. Former strength coach turned businessman. You know, so they've been able to bring these two things together and probably, again, two is better than one, right? So you guys are over here. They're over here. They bring it all together. And now they're able to attack a bigger space. And again, fundamentally, they have great leaders and they're actually genuine about the people they help. So it's no surprise that they merge. And it's also no surprise that they're going to dominate once merged.
Jeff has put together a fantastic staff over there. He's built a great product with the AMP. And then obviously Momentous has a huge name behind them over the last probably 3 to 5 years. They've really grown into a bigger player in the game.
Yeah. Since about 2017, they've really come on strong.
Yeah. So you put the two of them together, it makes total sense. But the thing about Jeff is, as a guest, he was the first CEO we had on here. I know we put Nikola earlier into our kind of lineup, if you will, but Jeff came on and he really opened up a lot of different areas for us to talk about as co-hosts about everything on this podcast. And one of my favorite quotes, and I've used this multiple times since then, sorry, Jeff, for stealing your fire, but he said that the side hustle is just a proof that you can turn it into a full-time business. It's just a test run, if you will. And I've used that so many times with people in this field from that, you know, interview that now want to go in and make it a full-time living. And I keep saying that and going back to that. He drops a few other nuggets. Really enjoyed having him on the show.
So let's get into it.
Sounds good. Episode number 16, Jeff Byers. Joe, if there is one unofficial sponsor throughout our entire podcast, all the episodes we've done so far, I think we're up to like 15 by now. Who would you choose?
Well, Matt, we're actually up to 19. And the reason I know is because I write it all down in my rocket book, right? So I got the little one right here. I got the full size one on the desk, right? It's something I use every day in my personal and professional life. It's been a tool that the last 2 years since I found it has, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, has changed the way I take notes, has changed the way my crappy handwriting can be digitized into, you know, typed Word documents for ease of use to send in emails and everything. So I would highly recommend, if you don't know what Rocketbook is, check them out, get one, use it for a few months. I guarantee it'll change your life. Want to give an unofficial sponsorship shout out to Dr. Jim Stepani, Dr. Tim Sheets, and Vince Andrich, the later of the two who have both already been on the podcast, and JYM Supplement Science. So JYM, kind of like Jim with a J, Supplement Science.
Yeah, absolutely. Great product. Something that we definitely have been used quite a bit over the years. Great protein. And the thing that we both really appreciate about them is they actually have research behind everything. Dr. Tim Sheet, as you mentioned, who's been on the podcast before, went through and explained how they actually do the research, unlike most companies in the supplement industry. And they actually give out information that makes sense. And they help people decide what supplements are best for them, even if it doesn't mean they go with their company. But they prove time and time again that science and the research behind it are the reason why these supplements work. And then they give those, you know, powering statements and empowering movements to help these people make the best decisions for them and their individual needs as a consumer.
No, and again, never hurts that they're UConn guys either. but no, definitely JYM Supplement Science. Check them out. Again, it's top quality products with the research to support them. And if it's a brand you're not familiar with, it's something you should be familiar with, either yourself or your athletes.
For sure.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. We have another episode coming. Joe Staub here with Matt Powell, the beautiful co-host. It is St. Patrick's Day, and our guest today, Jeff Beyer. Did I get the last name right? I'm terrible with names.
Yeah, close enough.
That's second person, close enough. So you know what? Hey, that's a victory. I've butchered a few names. It's just not my thing. I've been hitting the head too many times. So Jeff, just so you know, obviously, thank you for joining us late at night. We're East Coast, you're in Utah. One of the things for me and Matt, you know, we're both married with kids. We both have full-time jobs. Matt's doing some side hustle on the real estate side. I have a side hustle in terms of my business. And then now we're doing this. So for us, while we're talking business, while we're talking side hustles in the performance world, you know, it's also, it is for us, you know, this isn't our full-time jobs. You know, maybe one day we'll make some money doing this, but right now we do it, you know, not only for the passion we have for the industry and connecting people like yourself to a larger audience, but it's also just kind of another way for us to give back. And, you know, it's another thing on our plates. It's another project, right? We're both people who, you know, we don't really take big vacations because after a day we're itchy to do something. So thank you for joining us. I know it's not super late your time, though it's getting late our time. And just, we always kind of throw that out there. So people who listen know, you know, we're doing this late at night, after the day, after the job, after the business, because that's when the work gets done on that side hustle, on that extra thing where you put those extra hours in to achieve the next step. And that's something, you know, people sometimes may think, you know, we're doing this at 8 o'clock and it's hunky dory and it's great. And this is what we do. No, this is the second, third, fourth thing on the side hustle list that we're trying to make something, because that's how many you have to have. So thank you for joining.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome to be here.
Cool. So first, obviously, just a proper introduction. You are the CEO of AMP, you know, and I know it as AMP HP, but I was corrected the other day from Pat. It is now just AMP.
It's AMP Human.
AMP Human. See, this is why I have to ask, because I'm terrible at this shit.
You just gotta Google it, man. Google has all the answers.
Google does, but you know what? Here, just for sake of argument, to show you, and I have to do this because my boss lady, my wife Rachel, who Matt knows, Matt actually coached her, she is the staunchest believer in your product. There at least one of the products, the recovery lotion. She's a, you know, genius. She's a physician assistant. She's a superstar athlete. She was a Division I, you know, almost all American kind of level high jumper. We did a Spartan race. I was like, you got to use this stuff. You got to use it. She uses it. She finishes. She's like, that shit works. She's like, I'm a believer. She's like, make sure you tell that guy I'm a believer. Right. So here, just so you know, literally in the office, thank Pat.
Love it. You got, it. Well, dude, I just got to let you know, like, that's old. Like, you should drop that in the trash can, email Pat and say, here's my address. Ship me the new.
Thank you. See, this is what I was saying. I got hooked up, but I knew there was something fishy about it.
That shit's literally 2 years old, man. Maybe longer. I mean, yeah.
Pat Dixon.
Fail.
Huge. Thank you. Though I do have the trials of the vitamin D downstairs. Huge fan. Love it. Phenomenal product. But just wanted to, I had to give a shout out to the boss lady. She was, because I told her I was going to talk to you. And she was like, you know, she knows you as the lotion guy. I was like, yeah, the lotion guy. And she was like, you got to tell him. It's the greatest thing ever. I believe in it. It's 100% the truth. She's the biggest skeptic in the world. So I just wanted to lead in with that and start a little funny.
I love it. I mean, the lotion guy, that's a good name for me.
It can go.
Been called a lot worse.
Yeah, it can go a lot of ways. I'll take it as a compliment. I'll give it as a compliment.
If it's Buffalo Bill lotion guy, we're going a whole separate direction.
We're trying to keep it. Yeah. So first question, how did you get to be where you are? What is your, you know, you can give us the 1 minute version. You can give us the 3 hour version. How are you now the CEO of AMP Human?
It's a real long story.
All right, so maybe the 3-minute version.
It's probably going to be more like 5 minutes because it's fun.
Hit me.
So I'll go way back. And I don't know if you guys even know this. Maybe you do. I played football at USC. I was a 2-time captain of the team there, but went to undergrad and got my master's at USC. I had an incredible honor. I played in the NFL for 4 years. I was a large human being. I was an offensive lineman. I weighed 310. I do not weigh 310 anymore. However, my beard put some extra weight on me. I'm about 220, 225. And I'm a wannabe endurance athlete sometimes and strength athlete still. I'm confused. Anyways, with all that, I've had this huge passion for optimizing human performance, et cetera. But when I was playing, I had an incredible job offer kind of just standing out there which was in finance. I realized instantly after I retired pretty much that did not want to be in finance.
Was those your degrees? I mean, is your background, you say leveraging human performance is and optimizing performance. Is that from a science, you know, kinesiology, biology, or are you a business guy who said, okay, let's do something else?
No, it's from, I played in the NFL and saw a lot of cool things and realized that I could eke out small gains in different places. And I was super gifted, obviously, to play in the NFL, but I found myself every year on the roster, like number 15 in training camp, just when you look at talent and ability. And I realized that there were a lot of things that made up for it. So, right, things you do in the weight room, how you take care of your body, right, how you stay cognitively sharp, sleep, fuel, all those things that add up, and was really always thinking about how do I continue to like better myself and know that it's not just about training harder, right? It's about doing a bunch of little things and taking care of your body, and had seen so many incredible things throughout, you know, through being at USC, Southern Cal, and in the pros, of like all these incredible technologies coming about and things working. I mean, there when I was playing HyperIce, which is now a, you know, whatever, a $1 billion company, was a silly ice pack that just was reusable.
Shout out to Caroline Jarmach, the director of international sales, was a former athlete of mine. Shout out to Caroline Jarmach.
I love it. But right, I mean, they had a vision, right? They wanted to change how people thought about soft tissue injuries and recovery. And I got to see that evolve a bit. And then obviously where they are now. So anyways, I've just been passionate about human performance, but I am 100% on the business side. I know a lot about science now only because, like that was, I got the school hard knocks from other very, very smart people in there. So anyways, I jumped in the finance world, realized I'm a team guy, I'm a builder. I wanted to be an early stage company, bet on myself a bit. And I ended up joining a really early stage biotech. That biotech was based in LA. I joined it in 2015 and I was one of the first business hires of that company. And they had this incredible technology that was able to transport things across the skin in a very unprecedented and efficacious way that it hadn't been done before. And that kind of led to this whole, we have this crazy idea. What if we could deliver non-drugs, basic vitamins, mineral supplements, avoid one of the biggest limiting factors in human performance and optimization, which is the gut a lot of times. Anyway, so that little passion project, Skunk Works project from the CEO and my good friend now, led into what is now Amp Human and PR Lotion. So we ended up started getting really early traction with it. We had early data that was compelling enough to get some of the best teams in professional mm-hmm. sports to take a look at it, use it, experience it. We had some work going on. We have a cooperative research and development agreement with Special Operations Command that wanted to take a look at it and started getting some penetration within the military DOD. But we were at this crossroads with this stupid product. It's not stupid. It's my product. But it's right within a biotech that was doing, you know, we are entering phase 2 clinical trials. And we said, what do we do with this project that has really cool potential, but is not a, you know, this is not life sciences. This is a consumer packaged goods company. This is athletic performance. This is wellness. Does not fit the same mold. So essentially, me and my other partner, my co-founder of the business, we both raised our hands and said, we want to take a run of this. And we ended up, so we ended up acquiring it, the rights to the product and potential other products within the pipeline for use in the human performance, wellness, topical delivery of nutrients, supplements, vitamins, et cetera.
So, to be honest, the first time I ever saw it, I was like, oh, great, another little menthol cream thing. Because I didn't know what it was, you know, and again, to your point, you know, you say stupid product. Well, there are so many stupid products. There are so many things. I worked in post coaching, right? I'm kind of a Pat Dixon, right? I got another master's degree. I got out of coaching and I worked in a nutrition CPG. I worked in technology doing monitoring. I've consulted with about a dozen other companies in the sport world, and some of them were stupid products and they don't work. So they exist. And the first time I ever saw yours, I was like, nah, this doesn't work. And then Pat gave me some data. And this is where one of the questions I want to ask you is, you know, how long did it take you guys? You know, you said it was a Skunkworks, right? You're in there, you're kind of hustling. How long did it take you to actually collect the information and be able to turn around and show, hey, it's not just some cream with some menthol. This actually is a technology that can do what it says.
Well, those are a bit loaded, I feel like here. So I'm gonna go for it. So, right, we were at a biotech and super well-funded, had really good data around kind of the chemistry and formulation around the technology and had seen it work with other things. Mm-hmm. So the confidence level was pretty high, especially with sodium bicarbonate, because that type of molecule, similar size characteristics that had seen success with. So we were pretty confident in that. And, you know, we got early data. We did a trial at San Diego State University that was outcome-based, and we got early good data around it. And so, like, there's people that are listening that are way smarter than me in exercise physiology and that are probably researchers and things like that. We have great data. We don't have perfect data. Like, we've only been around for 2.5 years. We've got a lot more data to collect, and something that we're really passionate about as a human performance company. And to say a human performance company, you have to be dedicated to data and asking hard questions, knowing that a lot of those questions you ask are going to probably make you ask another 10 questions. Me early on in my career, that was really hard to stomach. From a business perspective, how do you build a business? Like, I just want irrefutable evidence. And, you know, we've put some great minds around this business from, right, one of the lead scientists at Nike and director of human performance at Red Bull. And they basically said, no. Like, if you had all the answers, what you were doing wouldn't be fun or cool or special. Right. You're in this, you know, 10% range of, like, we're still trying to figure everything out, but we have good early data. We have really incredible athlete feedback, and the science makes sense. It's just now figuring out what is actually happening and why is it happening in the way it's doing, for how long, what's the biggest impact, the dosing and things like that, that we're still dedicated to finding. I mean, we've been lucky enough to win a small business innovation and research grant through the Air Force, specifically the One SAO. And we're doing a big research study at University of Connecticut right now. We're a little past halfway done with it, but it's right, just continuing to ask questions and what's happening in the body and why, and what and then ultimately, why are the outcomes the way that they are? Because the science behind sodium bicarbonate is well known. You both know it, right? Bicarb is a buffer in the body. It helps regulate hydrogen ions in the muscle, pull them off when you go hard. And so when you're at threshold, those hydrogen ions, that acid builds up and is a limiting factor. If you can remove those ions or help buffer them, you can push, you can train harder, longer, recover faster, et cetera, right? Make gains faster, which is ultimately the goal here of everything. But it's been a limiting factor because bicarb, all you listeners, I would love for everybody to go into their pantry and eat about 30 grams of baking soda. And you'll thank me for having a nice bowel cleanse for doing that. And so sodium bicarbonate, really well known, just gives you horrible GI distress. And so until now, until PR lotion, it's never been really practical for people to take, because what is one of the biggest detriments to performance? Crap in your pants, period. Like, just never happens well. So anyways, that's the story.
So like everyone we have on here, the people we bring go so depth or so deep, or, you know, have so much robustness to their answers. So you're saying like one or two sentences in this trajectory, but you have five or six little nuggets and points and things, and pun intended with the nuggets and crap in your pants, obviously. So, you know, there's so much in there. So yes, as a decathlete in college, right, I was average. I had to find all of those little things to get better because I wasn't that good. I was good enough to be there, but not good enough to be successful. And we're finding research, right? So we're looking at papers. I'm at UConn, number one kinesiology program in the country. I'm an undergrad. You know, I asked my professors and he was like, oh yeah. He's like, just mix some sodium bicarbonate, drink it. And if you can tolerate it, it'll definitely help you. So we're obviously out there. We're like, shit, we're going to go do this. So we buy some, you know, buy some Arm & Hammer and we mix it up and we drink it. And we're like, holy hell. And then we're trying to run. And it's like, you know, people are throwing up, people, you know, blowing it out. And then everyone is like, okay, I kind of thought that helped me a little bit, but do I want to do that to myself again? No. So yeah, exactly. Before your technology, everyone knew it was a tool, but it's not a good tool to use when you mix it and drink it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. And it's like, right, naturally occur in our body. It's just one of those things, right? Like there's ceilings on what we can and can't do. Anyway, so that was kind of the gist of Amp Human, but we had this broader vision really early on was we wanted to be a human performance company, not a lotion company, not a transdermal company, right? That's not why we spun this out of the biotech. We wanted to build a human performance company and build it at the forefront of human performance, realizing that human performance is in its infancy when we really think about it. And there's so much white space out there. And what we thought made us really unique is we had really incredible access, right, to the top athletes, the top teams, the top DOD institutions to really think about what are the problems in human performance that are out there. And actually, can we think about bringing relevant solutions to market around different problems with different technologies? My co-founder, she is not a technical founder either. By that, right? Not a chemist, not an exercise physiologist, a business ninja to a T, right? But very passionate about human optimization, human performance, love this space like I did. And we shared this vision of we can build something special that's technology agnostic, that's centered around the athlete or the person who trains with a purpose, and bringing relevant solutions to market around that, not trying to weed through the BS and say, what do you need? Where is the innovation happening? Hopefully go and acquire it, more innovation, and ultimately, right, bring that to market and serve our athletes. And then that's really evolved to how we're thinking about where do we go as a business. And Amp Human, we want to build a human performance system, right, that doesn't, right, give you everything you need in human performance, but that I like to think of human performance as a puzzle, right? There's 1,000 puzzle pieces around there about how do we optimize our bodies, minds, et cetera. But those puzzle pieces are spread everywhere. And it's like a massive search and find for athletes and consumers right now. And nobody knows what's really out there, what's real, what's bullshit, et cetera. And so what we have this vision of doing is how do we bring a system together that basically takes you, Joe, or you, Matt, or anybody out there that say, okay, based upon this data and you as a person and your goals, here's some recommendations around kind of the core pillars of human performance. Some might be products we own, some might be content-based, some might just be other things that are really cool that are out there. But ultimately, how do we bring human performance, that puzzle, in and say, let's solve 40% of it, 50% of it, 60% of it, and realizing that the other part is just, right, those we just got to get people to 60% and we're doing really good. And then the people who want to get beyond that will go find the crazy things that are out there, that are pushing the limits. So anyways, that's really our vision, is let's build a human performance system centered around athletes and people who are trying to seek to level up, right? Bring in our scientific advisory board. That's one of the best in the world. Think about how do they talk to their athletes and their high performers, try to boil that down and actually give a systematic based approach based upon people and recommend products, right? It's kind of self-serving for us. Like we want to be core to our customer and we want to be able to know as much as they can so that we can best tell you how to use PR lotion, D plus lotion, product three, product four, product five, because right. ultimately that gives you the best experience with those products that keep you sticky, but also keeps you really relevant and us relevant to you. Because the better we know you and the better we can give recommendations, the better outcomes you're going to have to, you know, as you said in the meeting, like, how do we continue to push the limits of the human body and make sure we find the limits or, right, find that limitless potential that there is in a human is only by giving better recommendations. Because if I just say, hey, slather PR lotion on and go, like, yeah, that's good, but, and it would work. But if I knew Joe, like, hey, I'm training for a marathon, I'm going, you know, three interval days a week, two distance days a week, here's my, and I'm a, you know, 210 pound, you know, man, like, okay, here's our recommendation on how best to use PR lotion, how much to use it. And then here are some other things. Have you thought about hydration? Have you thought about fuel? Have you thought about recovery? And building best in class solutions around that. So anyways, I'm going long winded.
No. Good. Go, yeah. Baby, go. That's, like I said, we're throwing you stuff because we're not the greatest interviewers of all time, but no, you bring up a great point. It's something. In my talks with Pat, you know, me and Pat for years now have talked, you know, once a month, once every other month. And one of the things, as I personally used, you know, again, at the time it was just PR lotion, the D cream hadn't come out yet. As I used it and leveraged all of those things, you know, in the business technology world, you know, they call it the technology snap, the technology stack. You know, what tools, skills, and resources do you have? I've always taken that concept into the athletic space, into the performance space, and said, well, what's your stack in terms of nutrition, monitoring, performance tools, you know, because you can buy every tool under the sun, but if you don't integrate them and have a purpose for them, they're pointless. So you, it's funny you mentioned what you just did with integrating to the customer product one, product two, in addition to yours to keep it sticky. So I've said to Pat, I still get calls from people, high level, professional sports, collegiate, Olympic level. And I get asked, you know, how would I integrate things? It's you guys. There's a ketone product. There's a carbohydrate product. Those are nutrition and topical interventions for a specific type of endurance set. There's a cognitive product and there's a monitoring tool. And I say to me, hey, if you can do these five things, you're tracking this, 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 you're using this for this, you're doing this with this, they integrate very well. And we can create some extreme endurance improvements, both acutely and chronically over time as a developmental pathway. We can optimize your athlete in the moment and in the next 10 years to get them ready to win the Olympics, not only this cycle, but next cycle. And people look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, but that's the integration of stuff at the highest level, not just using, like you said, not just slather it on you today and hope it works.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, ultimately, like that's, I believe, where does human performance go and where does this industry segment, how does it grow, right? It has to grow into... right? Combining the data and the analytics with product-based companies to create systems. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately data for data's sake and tracking is useless, right? Yeah. Like
doesn't do anything.
What are the actionable, tangible items around those things? But how do you bring them all together to create something meaningful to the consumer? So like, I don't have a ring, a watch, a heart rate monitor, something on my brain, whatever it is, like, a consumer is only going to do so much. And, you know, maybe the most elite athlete, the Tom Brady's, Steph Curry's, LeBron James of the world, they're going to spend $5 million, have a personal chef, have blood drawn all the time and figure out like exactly how to get dialed. But at the end of the day, like the general consumer, it's like, I need to get there. Like, I'm not going to be perfect, but I need to get close enough. And so how do I use the things that I have, right? Use the right data, right? Use, you know, how you all talk to athletes, right? It's what are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? What type of body are you? You watch them, you watch them move, you understand how they work out, and you're able to give pretty good recommendations. Like they're not spot on, but they're 90% of the way there. Yeah. Right. And if you want to get 100% of the way there, you got to spend millions of dollars on yourself because you need a whole team focused around it. And that's not the goal here, right? The goal is to take somebody from 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70, 80. But I do believe where we have to go is as human performance evolves, is it needs to become a system, because human performance in silos and products don't like they work, but they don't excel, and people don't get, like, people aren't going to continue to get better by just saying, I got 70 products I go and I use all the time. It's how do we everything integrate together and think about what's, how do I get most of that puzzle built, realizing that maybe I can go find some more puzzle pieces if I'm really dedicated. Maybe I don't. Maybe I just use different puzzle pieces at different times, but really thinking about that and building it out and building it in a way that actually is intuitive for consumers and light touch. And so I, you know, that's where I think where we're going, that is what we're building and working to build. And it's going to come in different touch points for us because we believe that's the future, but we believe also the only way we got here and the only way we can have the right to build a system was to be at the forefront of human performance. Because if you just build a system and you're like, we got this great system, and it's just like slinging marketing and crap like that, that doesn't work, right? Like
I've seen it fail.
Just my background, I was, and you all know Pat's, like, we had to win at the top and we had to make sure that we put ourselves at the forefront so that we could have the best scientific advisory board like that I could ever imagine, so that we did work with the DOD and that we did have all these relevant conversations so that we can speak to the consumer with real like might and like trust that we know what we're talking about, and said, we built this with the best in the world around you, and we are continuing to get it better, but also to have the genuineness to say, we don't have all the answers and we're building it. But PR Lotion gave us the right to be here. And I remind my investors, my team, right? And people are like, PR Lotion is what made us, but PR Lotion won't get us to where we need to go. Right? PR Lotion was that springboard, and it's going to be core to who we are. And we've got to, like, the things we learned here are absolutely important. And they scale, but PR Lotion is just a product, and just a product is a product. If we really want to help athletes achieve the limitless potential, we can't be a product. We have to be more. And that's what drives me, is like, I think to my athletic background, and just like you were mentioning, Joe, of like, how do we put these puzzle pieces together? Like, I had my puzzle pieces figured out pretty good. I'm like, how do I eat? How do I sleep? How do I keep cognitively primed? Like, what's my fueling strategy look like? But that was just me being tinkering and realizing that I needed to be somewhere else, and I needed to be doing things differently than others if I wanted to continue to play a game that I loved.
Yeah. So yeah, you couldn't live on the Skittles diet and just succeed.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. No, that's where I came from. You know, I had to dig and claw for every inch to even be competitive. So no.
Yep.
All right, Matt, kicking it over to you.
Yeah, man. So first of all, I love when business guys come on with us, because honestly, this is when I learned the most, right? And I'm sitting here, I think I typed up about 10, 15, 20 lines of notes right there. So, you know, I don't want you to think that I'm not speaking because I don't want to, but just because y'all have this MBA level and I'm kind of just listening and learning. So I freaking love it. So thank you for coming on. And then secondly, I think that the best coaches, the best producers, the best people who create products, whatever term you want to use there, they go through and they come from having to dig, scratch, claw in order to get to that level, especially in the human performance field, right? The longer I'm in this industry and the longer I'm around it, the more I see people like yourself, Jeff, who, you know, had an extremely lucky and extremely well fought and extremely well earned career, but they were never that top end guy, right? They were never that number one draft pick or that even that first round draft pick. They were that guy who, you know, got a chance on the team, did a great job staying there. That was me in college, right? I probably shouldn't even play Division I, but I earned an opportunity. I earned a scholarship, helped my parents out financially, which is what my goal was at that time. Got a degree and was able to go on and do what I love. But I love the fact that you came back to that. So my question and kind of where I want to go with this is, as that guy, right, as you're coming out of the NFL, you're transitioning out, and then you go on to do some financial stuff with Wells Fargo and some other major banks and institutions, and then you get to do a little bit of the bioenergy. How did you know that's where you wanted to go? Are people out there right now listening to this who want to create a side hustle or trying to figure out, what is my niche? What is my goal? What are my values? Why do I want to do X? So what kind of process did you go through to decide, hey, this is what I want to do? Because you gave a great background, but how did you know that was for me? That was for Jeff.
I had no idea that I wanted to get into sport. Honestly, God bless both of you. but there was zero chance that I was going to be a coach. Like, never in a million years.
There's a big difference. Strength coach and sport coach, very different.
Either one.
Very different.
Either one. They both, I was just like, right? Like, Joe Ken, who I'm sure you both know, the man, the myth, the legend, is like a good buddy and friend. He was my coach. And like, I love Joe Ken, but never in a million years do I want to do the ride he did, right? Like, just not my ride. That's not who I am. Anyways, I love sports and I love being an athlete, but being a coach was not something I ever wanted to do. And for me, thinking through when I never thought of business and sports in the way that like building a human performance company. I had no idea that was what I wanted to do. So when I was in finance, the last role in finance I had before I jumped into the biotech company, it was a large family office, multifamily office that was launching a venture fund and investing in early companies. And I just knew, like, I'm a team guy. I want to build. Like, I'm a person who bets on myself. Like, hard work is what I know. And I love to motivate people. And it's like, okay, I want to be an early stage business. I can bet on myself. The NFL gave me that ability to do that. And so I kind of jumped in and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to join, you know, a team that had less than five people. I knew I wanted to be doing something that wasn't easy or normal. I didn't want to build an app. I wanted to be a part of a company that was pushing boundaries somewhere, doing something super unique. And just like, I had an opportunity to join like a alcohol startup, which I would have made a lot of money. I would have already made a lot of money, but it, like, I don't want to sell booze. That wasn't my, that like, I don't know why it was just not what I'm passionate about. Right. So, and had a couple other opportunities along that way in early stage. One was an app development. The other one was kind of it was a football related helmet company. But when I met the founder and the chairman of the biotech company, they did have this crazy idea around using this technology outside of pharma and outside of medicine. And that sparked my interest to say, oh, that's super interesting. This could be a great way back into human performance. This could be a great way back into what I loved about sport, was this tinkering human performance optimization. And that was like, okay, I found a seed and that seed got planted. Right.
Well, it sounds like you like set upper and lower limits though, right? So you were like, hey, here's the things that matter to me, right? So you knew that you wanted to be in a small team, you knew you wanted to be leadership. You also knew you didn't want to coach because you're way smarter than Joe and I. Good job. Proud of you.
Definitely. Yeah. Kudos to you, man.
100%. Proud of you. All those concussions didn't mess you up too bad. So it sounds like you had that nice balance there. So I guess I don't mean to cut you off. I apologize, but that's what I want to hear is like, all right, I set this limit. This narrowed it down to this. And then I kind of made my decision. So I apologize. Continue, please.
No, you're good. And like the human performance optimization space, it was like that seed that, oh, that's really interesting. And that's doing something so unique. And that seed got planted. And then I started opening up my Rolodex. And like, I obviously played at a high level and knew a ton of people and started talking. And I go back to the Hyper Ice example, and now Hyper Ice started, you know, traction. And I was just thinking about all those little things that were in the locker room, in the training room, in the strength, in the weight room, and then everything else that was coming out of like around nutrition. And it's like, okay, the ball is rolling. There's lots of opportunity here. And I'm really passionate about, right, pushing the body and pushing the human to the limit. And like, that was my job. Like, how far can I go and how much can I take? And that's part of what I loved about sport, was like that pushing the absolute limits. And I found that I could get back into sport and not be in what I thought the sport side of like coaching. I could be on the business side, but really create a company that supports athletes of all kinds of people trying to seek to level up and really be an aspirational, but bring some real technology to play here and push the limits and challenge what people think is possible. Right. Because Joe, like your first impression of PR lotion, I was like, oh, here's some snake oil bullshit.
Yep.
I'm glad my boy Pat's trying to sling this on me. I mean, listen,
Again, but we've all been there, right? We've all known that guy who's made the call. Like, even for me, I questioned, I mean, not to go too far off, but I questioned, okay, hey, I'm working this product now, I'm working that product. I believed in what I did. But again, am I becoming that guy who's got a new thing every 6 to 8 months? And it's like, here's my Rolodex. Hey, check this out. Hey, check this out. You know, you become one of those, what are they, like the multi-level marketing things, or the people who sell the spandex and the jewelry. You know, I'm selling Tupperware 1 week, jewelry the next, you know, like supplements the next, you know. So, you think of that. You're like, yeah, I don't want that shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. And so... Right. And it's for me, right. It's been a incredibly fun journey to like continue to ask hard questions and tell people and be genuine and say, hey, I don't know all the answers, but I'm here for the long haul. Right. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, like it's got us to a place where we have, you know, some incredibly smart investors. We have some of the best athletes in the world who are investors in our business. And we call them, right, investors and advisors and athletes and things like that. And we're really, really lucky to have that. But it was because we had this broader vision of not just being PR lotion. What can we be more? But also knowing that PR lotion was really, really special because it was doing something that unlocked something that had never been unlocked before. That's practical. And you know, there's no other way to supplement bicarb that's practical for people like tactical athletes or real athletes or weekend warrior athletes. It's just not. And when you hear people talk about what PR lotion has allowed them to do, whether it's the Super Bowl champion or Tour de France champion or the person who just rides his bike twice a week, right, and rides hard, or the CrossFit, you know, the it's just been incredible. And it's like, okay, we have this opportunity to build more and do it the right way too, and not just try to sling lotion or lube out of the back of the car, which I felt like I did for some time as we started to get this thing going. And I am really your point, right, on what you mentioned, like, I just don't want to be another guy slinging another product. And I think early on, that's what it was, right? A lot of people felt that because so many people in our shoes do that. And then they're like, oh man, Jeff, you're still doing that? You're still doing that? Yeah. Like, and it's like,
yeah, you make a living doing that?
Yeah. And then it's like, holy shit, this is actually legit. And it's like, yeah, I told you, bro. I don't know how many times I've had those conversations with people that like, right. Because my closest inner circle was like, seriously, Jeff. Right. And then, you know, you start working with all these other people and like, they are objectively looking at your data and the science, where your boys or your close friends are just like, yeah. Got it.
You're the lube guy now. You're the lube guy.
Yeah. So it's been a fun journey. And now some of those people are our strongest advocates. And I know Pat's very sensitive about that. Patrick Dixon, who you guys had on the show and we've talked about here, like, cause he comes from your world and he doesn't like, he wants to be rooted in it and he wants to be rooted in science and wants to be around for the long haul. Cause like he didn't leave coaching to just be slinging lube out of the back of his car. He did it because he believed that we can actually make a difference for the athlete and push the limits and do something special. And we're still doing it 2.5, 3 years later, which is pretty awesome.
So there's a great transition too, right? Is you've got people in your inner circle, you've got friends, buddies, probably former NFL guys, you know, who you know from that situation that were telling you, nah, man, this ain't it. Like, hey, I talked to Chief. He said, this ain't it. So how do you make that transition and how do you bet on yourself? And I know you said that's kind of your personality trait, but for those out there listening who were kind of trying to make that jump, right, for doing something that they think is relatively safe to kind of taking that jump, how would you recommend or what is your kind of piece of advice there?
Yeah, it's really hard. And like, we've had people who've come and worked for us that this is like the early stage roller coaster is not the right roller coaster because we actually have somebody on the team now and he's been in a couple of early stage businesses. And he always tells people, he's like, if you're not questioning if the roller coaster is on the tracks, you're in the wrong place. He's like, because we're always, and you're always like, is it going to catch? Is it going to catch? Oh, it caught. Good. Ooh. Right. And then you go down to the low and gravity just compresses you and the world just stomps on you. Right. And then you're up flying and you're like, oh man, are we gonna like, we're still attached. And so it, like, it's not for everybody. Right. Like the startup early stage, bet on yourself, and that's okay. And I tell people that all the time, like that does like, just different personality and risk tolerances. I would say the other thing here is if you do it half ass, you never know, right? You got to jump full in. And it's not, you know, like it might start as a side hustle, but if it, like, if you let it, it will be a side hustle forever. Right. Got to rip that bandaid off, man. Cause it hurts like hell, but if you don't rip the bandaid off, you're never going to get there.
For sure. For sure. And that's a debate we have with some of our different people we've had on here so far, is how long did you kind of let it go? How long did you keep a W-2 or another job or however you want to look at it, right? And this is just a 1099, a side hustle, a this, a that, however you want to look at it, before you finally said, hey, this is exactly what I want to do. I'm happier here. This is my true calling or value. Or somebody planted that seed, going back to your analogy, where this is what I want to grow and do. So that's a fantastic point for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, like when... I was in a little different situation, right? Because it never was a side hustle, right? And I want to be clear on that. Like I full on joined early stage business and saw an opportunity and saw enough data. But I think what's really important, when you transition it from a side hustle to something real, like you have to have confidence that this has potential, right? Like the side hustle is for proving it out. Like, is the proof of concept there? And if I bust my ass, can I make money and put food on my table? Right. That's what the side hustle is for. Is like, can I increase the odds to 50-50 here? Or, you know, 60-40 or whatever it is that, hey, I can make a living on this, because you never know till you get in, but you gotta have some like confidence that it can be there. So I think that's what's important, is like, once you have the sense of like, this is doable, you got to do it, because time is the killer of everything. And that's one of the things I always tell my team, of like, when you're building a business or you're building something, your biggest enemy is time, because you run out of money with time, you run out of bandwidth, you run out, like the opportunity goes away, right? Like time kills everything. And so you got to go, like when it's time, you got to go. And it's just like, you know, somebody once really smart who made tons and tons of money, more than we could ever dream of. I was listening to talking. He was talking about starting a company in entrepreneurship and investment as like riding a wave, right? The first thing is you just got to be in the ocean. Like you can never surf if you're not in the ocean, right? Number two is you got to have skills, right? You can't catch a wave if you don't have skills, right? And the third is timing, right? You got to be in the ocean. You got to have the skills, and the waves got to be there, and you got to take it, right? If you're too early, you miss it. If you're too late, you miss it. But you got to be there, right? And you have to have the foresight to realize there's a wave coming. I got to try to get it, right? And if you don't try to get it, that wave misses. And that time, that opportunity goes away, and you got to wait for another one. And to me, like that has been the perfect analogy for me when I think, like, I don't even surf. Like, I mean, like I'll probably die surfing, but I understand the concept, right? Of like, first, you just got to be in the game first. Like you can never score if you're not in the game. Right. So like get in the water, you got to do that. Like that's the side hustle. Right. Okay. And do I got the skills, right? Can I actually catch a wave? All right. Can I see a wave? Here's a wave coming. Do I actually do it? So anyways, that's my stupid analogy that I like.
No, it's not a stupid analogy. Like that one a lot. Yeah.
That's a fan. Yeah, I'm all about that. So just to go ahead and give you credit now, because I'll probably never give you credit again. The side hustle is a proof of concept, not a long-term solution. I'm going to steal and run the hell out of that, Jeff. So everybody, just so everybody knows, I'm looking around. This is your quote, and I'm going to steal the hell out of it. So
I just steal things from other people. Guys, you got to remember, I'm an offensive lineman, which is like a hair above a strength coach. So
I love the question has been set.
Yeah. I might as well been a strength coach because I'm an offensive lineman. So let's also be honest there.
Touche. I like it. See, that's why we wanted to have you on. See, I knew there was a reason.
No, I think that was a fantastic kind of, you know, total look at entrepreneurship, right? Especially from the human performance standpoint, which is why I was so excited to have you on and to kind of hear what you had to say, because being able to kind of do the side hustle, right? If that's your bag and you don't have the NFL money, you don't have the situation financially where you can do that, is a good way to kind of prove what you want to do. And then you got to decide what's most important and how you want to kind of live your life and what you want to do. But if anything that this past year has taught anybody is that there's nothing guaranteed, right? There's no job is guaranteed. There's no situation is guaranteed. So you need to make your own luck, and having multiple streams of income is extremely important for most people who aren't financially set. So well said, brother, and well wrapped up. Joe, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, because to your point, Matt and Jeff, it's time, right? Like, are people using their time? One of the reasons, Jeff, we lead in the conversation, right? So for us, you're the 15th guest. We've kind of looked at some different things and we've gotten some people and some feedback. And one of the feedbacks was, you don't really tell people for you, this is a side hustle. So now we've been kind of doing the lead in with, hey, we're doing these at night. We're priming them with, we're doing these at night. This is our side hustle. We're getting the proof of concept. We're going to try and convert this into something. And, you know, if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, well, that's why we had to try it. We had to go, we had to see. We can't just, like you said, you can't even just not be in the ocean and be like, I can surf, but I'm never going to get in the water. You know, like, you got to actually do it. So to kind of wrap this up, like I said, we always try and keep them somewhat tight. I know, I think I sent an invite that's till like 11:30, but don't worry, we won't keep you that late. We always go back to like our big three, right? It's kind of the three basic questions we ask everybody. I know it's somewhat corny. Everyone kind of does it. But for us, no matter which way the conversation goes, what level of person, you know, you're a CEO of a business. The person we had on before you was a strength coach in the collegiate setting. You know, we've had people who are former strength coaches, this, that, and the other. So the conversations can go everywhere. But we always act with these three to kind of hone it as a barometer and kind of compare answers, because it's always interesting. One of the questions, I'm really interested to see what you say, because, again, you've just come from a different place compared to some of our other guests. So the first one, how do you find balance? And the question not only is how do you find balance, but how do you define balance? Because that's it's a word that means a lot to many people. So how do you define it? And then how do you find it?
That's a great question. I think this whole thing of balance is bullshit. So I'll impart my dumb wisdom on you. I think balance is incredibly hard. I think boundaries are what needs to be set, because there's no such thing as a work-life balance or a life-work balance. Like, there's no balance. Work is life, life is work. And to think about balance, like, it can't, you have to figure out the boundaries around certain areas of your life. And the boundaries are what's important, because balance doesn't matter, right? Like, sometimes you got to pull all-nighters. Sometimes you got to just buck up and put your work boots on and go to work. And guess what? Sometime you got to be a part of your family and you got to say, sorry, I was about ready to use a bad word. You like, I'm going to go spend time with my family because it's my family time, right? And those are the boundaries you put in, right? And so I think it's having clear boundaries and having expectations with your significant others around, like, this is what I'm doing and this is why I'm doing it. And this is our goal together, and have them do the same thing to put boundaries in places, because balance doesn't, like, our life is a balance. Like, there's like work-life balance, all of that. Like, I don't subscribe to that, because like, it's all the same. Like, it needs to be, just put boundaries around it, because you're never going to get to a happy medium. Either you're working too much or you're not working enough. And it's not about that. It's about, how do I live my fullest life? And by that, I think you have to put boundaries around and set expectations properly around what you do, in your life. So, because,
Great answer. And you're not the first person who's taken that question and just been bullshit off the bat. So there's been many, who actually followed the line of reasoning. You're one of the first who's used boundaries in the way you did. It's a comment I've made a bunch. It's one of the principles I've imparted to everyone who I've ever had the opportunity to either lead or teach or coach, is you have to have your values and you have to have your actions, and they have to be aligned, because if they're not, if your actions aren't aligned with your values, I mean, first you have to obviously have to determine what your values are, but if they're not aligned, you're going to have chaos. And now they can be out of sync at moments because, to your point, hey, you got to pull an all-nighter. Hey, you got to miss dinner tonight with the family because you just got to get it done. That's one moment and that's okay. But when it's every single day, but you think it's important to be there, but you're never there, that's where the catastrophe hits. So again, I like how you phrased it. I phrased it a little different, but awesome. I'm going to take number two, and then I'll let Matt finish with the third and wrap this up. So the second one, what is the best thing you have ever bought in the range of about $500 to $1,000? And that's it. So what's the best thing you ever bought, 500 to 1,000, in whichever way you want to go with it?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a really hard question. $500 to $1,000.
So while you're stewing, I'll give you this as a primer. We've had people talk about things they've done for themselves, things they've done for other people, you know, things they do to sharpen their sword personally, professionally, things... we had one guy talk about going on vacation because it was a way for him to disconnect, to recharge his battery. So there is no good answer. So I won't put you on the spot. Let's jump to three and we'll come back to two and put you on the spot in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Sounds good.
What a nice way to put that. That was really well said, Jeff. I like that a lot. So Jeff, this one's going to be a little easier for you because I feel like you talked about that inner circle already, but who coaches you and why them specifically? Why are they your kind of people you bounce things off of?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I do believe that the network and the people you surround yourselves are who is what makes you. So I always say, like, the first person I always go back to, always is my old man, my dad. He's just always been the rock in my life in terms of just, you know, hard times. I've been hurt a lot. Like, you know, pick yourself up. Nobody feels sorry for your son. Like, what'd you come here to do? You know, remember your North Star. And also he really instilled two things on me really early on. And we still talk about them probably every other time we talk. And it's, you know, what are the two things you control in your life? Right. I mean, he always talks about this, you know, Venn diagram of, right, things that are important and things that you can control. And he's like, the two most important things in that Venn diagram, right, that cross over are your attitude and your effort. And so he's been, right, so inspirational in my life. He's been incredibly successful in business and his career as well. And I will say he had decent boundaries growing up. Like, he always made sporting events, right? And he was the CEO of a multinational, very large business. But right, he was at my football games, my brother's football games, my sister's track meets. Like that was just who he was. Whether it was a Thursday or a Friday or Saturday, he was just like, this is important for me. I'm going to be there. And then, you know, I will say, you know, my wife is very important to me. Right. We talk about hard things. And she's kind of the rock that can, like, keeps me stable. I'm like a really high energy guy, and like, it takes a lot to bring me down. But when I get down, like, she's the one that's like, let's go, come on, get back up. And she's the one I get to open up about. And I'll say my two partners in the business have been really strong mentors to me. They both come from incredibly different backgrounds, but we share a very common principles, values. And they have incredible, just intelligence about how to deal with people. Like, they've just come from a different background than I have, right? We're all about the same age, but very, very different. And because we have the same North Star and same goals, we've been able to, I feel like, been a really good team of, like, how do we grow together and speed growth. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of other people in my life that have been pretty inspirational, but.
No, awesome.
No, that's great.
Go, Matt. I know where you're going with the wife thing, because it, you know, Jeff, me and Matt both have much better looking, much more intelligent, much more powerful, much higher potential. But I mean, just better wives. Matt actually coached my wife at UConn. Pat knows my wife as well. He was still at UConn, just leaving as she was there too. So Everyone knows I outkicked my coverage, and having met Matt's wife, clearly that's the case in his world as well.
I mean, yeah. I wish we weren't on video.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, listen, my wife married me when I was an offensive lineman, right?
She really loves you then.
She really loves me.
Yeah.
She saw the skinny guy inside of that factor.
Yeah.
That's just all I got to say is I had mad game. That's all that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because my wife is a 6'4" Greek goddess volleyball player.
There you go.
Right. Just
so is she, did she use you as the side hustle proof of concept? She saw the inner, you know, she converted you. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
That didn't surprise me. So
I'm with you.
Yeah.
She, all right. So let me put you back.
I'm scared of.
Let me put you back on the spot. $500 to $1,000. Best thing you've ever purchased.
Oh, man. I don't know. I honestly don't. I'm trying to think at like, what is your, like, I honestly, this is a really hard one. I'm not a big, like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm trying to think through things like $500 to $1,000 is a tight range here. I'm really struggling. I would say my dog, but she was more than $1,000, so I can't do that. My bike's more expensive than that too. Okay, here we go. This is a total random one, and I have no idea if it's between $500 and $1,000. But I did this super epic adventure race last year. And I'm sure, however I added up, it could cost $1,000 with flight and hotel and things like that. So I'm going to use it. So I did this thing called the Orca Island Swim Run. And it wasn't last year. It was actually in 2019. It just like the last 12 months, I'm just blank. Like,
yeah.
Don't exist.
I knew exactly what you meant. Yeah. So don't worry. Yeah.
And so it's up in the San Juan Islands. And it's a swim run, crazy endurance event. And I'm a part of this crazy crew that works out in the morning here in Park City. And they have a crucible event every year. And that crucible event is something that's incredibly challenging that anybody can do, but it's really, really challenging both mentally and physically. And it takes you out of your comfort zone. So what it is, it's like, think of like, if you know the Pacific Northwest, it's in the San Juan Islands. It's like on this island, and it's a swim run race that's like, it was like 24 miles of running and 4 miles of swimming, but it's in segments. And so you like swim through mountain lake, you run 3 miles, you swim through mountain lake, you run 10 feet on an island, you jump back in, you jump off a cliff, like, and you're just like swimming. And so like you're doing this whole adventure with a wetsuit on, or a partial wetsuit, and like you're in the Pacific Northwest. It looks like Oz at times because like shit's so green, and you're like running through the rainforest, and then you're jumping in a mountain lake, then you jump in the ocean and it's freezing. But you do all this and you have a partner, and you're tethered to your partner in it. But to me, like, that was one of the greatest experiences in my life, of just like pushing my body and my mind so far and so far outside my comfort zone. Like, I'm not a swimmer. God did not put me on this planet to swim. He put me on this planet to sink. and swimming, like, and open water swimming is scary as shit for me.
Yes.
Like, even in lakes, I'm just like, this is wrong. You know, like, get me out of here. And it was for me, and my wife came along, and she was like, I don't know, there was 12 of us that did it. And my wife was like She was like the goodie bag holder of like passing out energy chews and shit like that. Like,
she was people saving.
She was smart enough not to do it, but still be there.
she actually would have crushed us all. Like, she 100% should have done it. And I'm pissed that I didn't. She had a baby like 6 months previous, which is probably why she didn't do it. But like, she is a better athlete. Like, I might've been a pro offensive lineman, but she was a pro volleyball player. Like, I was just dumb enough to run around and hit my head and lift heavy things. Like, she can jump, she can move, she has hand-eye coordination. I've known that shit. So let's be clear on athlete status. I want to caveat this. So anyways, that experience to me was really eye-opening. And just like, I did it with the former COO of Backcountry, like incredibly bright, like 10, 15 years older than I am. And we just like, I didn't know him. I just got partnered with him. And to like run through a forest and swim and suffer with somebody you didn't know. And now like, I feel like I have this like caveman bond. Anyways, cause it's something like I would have never done on my own. It was a true challenge. And I'm like, that is one of the coolest things ever. And I like had, it was like fear, mental, physical, all of that. Like I was an offensive lineman. I was not made to swim. I was definitely not made to run. Let's just be honest.
Right? Well, at least you weren't 300 pounds doing it. That would have been,
Oh man, I'll tell you what, I felt like I was 300 pounds at the end. I, all my surgeries and injuries, like, man, it was pain cave.
Yeah. Hey, I competed at about a buck 90 and I'm about 220, 225. Running and training now, I just feel the pain. I'm like, man, I can only imagine going from three down, like, whew, lugging two plus around is not fun.
People ask me, they're like, what do you, like, you hurt? I was like, man, I feel amazing compared to what I used to. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, I played offensive lineman. Like, I hurt all the time. Like, now I just sometimes hurt.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a pretty big win. Like, and I was taking, like, crazy horse tranquilizer, anti-inflammatories, whatever the hell that they give you. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I rolled my ankle. How come my ankle's not swollen? It's like, oh yeah, because you're on this anti-inflammatory that, you know, they give you when you like compound fracture your leg and things like that. Like, no, that's just like, that's the Skittles.
Par for the course, baby. That's people. I joke to people now. I'm like, yeah, I've had a bunch of surgeries. I need a few more, but I feel great. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, oh, I'm actually like healthy now. Like, this is cool. Like,
yeah. 100%. 100%.
No, I hear you. All right. Well, thank you for the time, right? We've kind of hit our apex here. We can only do so much with what we've got, and, you know, we can't steal too much of your time. So as we wrap it up, we always give you kind of that platform. Where can people find you? Where can they reach you? What else do you want people to know? All the classics. Is there a book? Is there a thing? You know, blah, 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 blah. So forums open. What do we need to know?
There's no book. It'd be a complete waste of paper. And yeah, so there's no book. If in case anybody was curious, which I know nobody is. So where can you find me? You can find me in Park City, wandering around everywhere. In the early morning, I'll be walking somewhere, or running or biking. But in all seriousness, I don't really do social media. I'm on LinkedIn. It's really the only platform I have. On there, you can probably find a Facebook account from college that's like 30 years old or however long ago I went to school. Don't judge me if there's anything on there, because I don't know my password anymore, and I haven't for decades. So LinkedIn, company is amphuman.com. Joe, amphuman, two words.
Yep. I'm getting there. Yeah, I'm getting there.
Not amp. Yeah. Hey, yeah.
I'm like you said, I'm on a date. That's why, you know, I admitted it. I didn't know.
I wish I was in the office, so I could actually show people what the actual product looks like. Not stuff from like way back when. Like that was like our proof of concept, first generation product. Like, looks like honey mustard. The stuff we have actually is like good now. Like, it looks so different than that. Like, that stuff is probably separated into two. Anyways, don't need to go down that rabbit hole.
It did expire, to be fair. It did expire in 2019.
Yeah. My point exactly.
Yeah.
Joe still uses it every day, just so y'all know.
Hey, I would, because if I had to go do something right now, I would still put that on because it works. Jeff, so, I am a believer. When I can buy in, I am buying in.
Yeah, it's special. Like, it really is. Anyways, seriously, if you don't email Pat and tell him to send you a care package, you're doing it wrong. You heard it from me.
Already texted. Don't worry.
Pat, he's on his honeymoon, by the way, in case you didn't know.
He is? All right, so now I won't feel bad if I don't get a text back.
You didn't hear from me.
Okay.
You didn't hear from me. I don't know. I would drop it and just be like, hey, I heard you got married and you're on a honeymoon. What's up?
Yeah.
And be like, no, Jeff didn't tell me.
So, yeah, no idea.
No idea. Yeah.
All right. So obviously the company website, obviously LinkedIn, if you're a LinkedIn kind of person, or like you said, they can come find you in Park City and do some walking, do some endurance, do some training, which maybe one day you might see me out there. You just might find some goofy ass bastard like looking like me and be like, hey man, you want to go like do something? Cause I'm pretty nuts like that. So you might,
all in. Yeah. We have an epic human performance center at the office, and Patrick has extra bedrooms at his house that you both are always welcome to stay in.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that invite. I've actually taken him up on it, like I said, the last time. So, all right, sir. Thank you. Man. Much appreciated. I'm going to wrap this up on my end. Thank you for kind of closing it on yours. And right now I'm going to kick it to Matt for the final goodbye.
Jeff, again, thank you so much, brother. We really appreciate it. When you and Joe are done doing whatever dumb stuff you guys can do outside, I'll meet you at the bar, the brewery, wherever. I'll be sitting there having a beer after a heavy lift, and I'll see you guys there.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, bye. Brother.